Marvel dropped the first trailer for Deadpool and Wolverine. Madam Web bombed at the box office and the Fantastic Four gets an official cast. And Dune Part 2 early reactions say it's an all-time sci-fi epic. Let's get into this week's movie news.
Welcome back to Raiders of the Lost Podcast, movie friends. There is a ton to get into this week. New trailers. We're going to react to a bunch of the Super Bowl trailers in this episode. There are some really great ones. Also, a great Dunkin's commercial from Ben and Matt Damon.
Our boys. The boys.
First, let's get into the box office this week. We finally have some new movies in the box office lineup.
Only a couple.
So Valentine's Day saw the release of a bunch of films, and also this is heading into President's Day weekend. It's a long holiday for many people, and so that's going to boost the box office. The biggest release this weekend was the Bob Marley biopic One Love, which debuted with a very strong $22 million opening weekend, and it's looking to hit about $45 million for its six-day holiday weekend. This is a huge hit for the studio and for the film.
That sentence is just funny, though. Six-day holiday weekend. It's getting, like, all the headlines are like, Madam Web's going to pull $22 million over a six-day weekend. That is not a weekend.
They're just bumping the numbers up for headlines.
That does not make any sense. Sentence makes no sense.
The first thing I saw was a headline for One Love making, like, $45 million. I was like, holy shit,
that's
a great debut.
What?
Then I read it further. It was, like, the six-day weekend projections. I'm like, oh, okay, that makes more sense.
A full week, basically.
Yeah, speaking of Madam Web, though, for the three-day weekend, it only made a very disappointing $13 million for its opening weekend.
But
gross.
Are people surprised?
I'm not surprised. The trailer looked mid, like so mid.
I don't think anyone should be surprised that Madam Web underperformed on a budget of only $85 million-ish. Yeah. So it probably has to pull about $150 to start hitting the green area-ish.
Probably $200.
Maybe $200. Yeah. It probably won't hit $200 million.
Not with that.
I don't think anyone's surprised. I mean, I'm actually kind of surprised it broke $10 million for the three-day weekend.
I'm not surprised because it's still like Sony, Spider-Man.
True.
That brand's still something.
But
you know
it's becoming the new Morbius in a lot of ways. Yeah. Especially on film Twitter, Madam Web has become the new meme of the year. And part of me thinks that Sony doesn't really care that much.
It's odd that I saw some clips and I've heard reactions and it doesn't seem like they put any effort into making like a compelling story. Which is weird because you're trying to set off a universe of films. Don't you want to just like make it as good as possible? But reactions for this film are dismal across the board from critics and audiences alike. Nobody seems to like this movie. Everybody's laughing at it. And I'm not surprised from that trailer. It's just odd that they're not putting the quality of writing into it.
Yeah, I just think it's just the people who run the studios right now.
Yeah, those people.
The positions of power, and they're just like, let's get some content out. Obviously, they probably rushed it because they have Kraven coming out as well. And
Kraven.
I'm still optimistic about Kraven.
I'm not optimistic about anything from Sony.
Still optimistic about Kraven.
I don't know.
And because when I saw him bite the nose off and spit it out the window, I'm like, this is cool.
Yeah, but that's just one moment. James is going just for that one shot.
It's cool. You know, Nathan was a stunt guy on it. He got killed by Aaron Taylor Johnson like five times.
That's awesome. Fucking so cool.
But
the movie actually, it was made with a higher budget, but they managed to get a big tax break from the Massachusetts Credit Department. So they shot a lot of the film in Massachusetts and the Boston area.
Kraven or Madam Web?
Madam Web. And so that's why the budget was actually went from about $100 million dropped down to $85 million because of the tax credit they got from shooting in Mass.
Well, I will say that it was smart to not put $250 million into this movie.
Oh, yeah.
So I think they might make a profit. Who knows?
I got to say, it's probably some of the worst posters I've seen. It's just like Dakota Johnson just – and that's her, it's just her in black and white. And I'm like, that doesn't seem that interesting of a poster that they've been using for the marketing.
I've seen some clips online.
They're going
viral for the cringiness. And it is what it is. Because, I mean,
I'm not surprised.
Yeah, let's move on.
Another film in the top five this week was Argylle. And its third weekend is at $4.2 million. It's broken $100 million globally, but still very low performer for the huge budget it had. Doesn't look like this movie is going to recuperate its costs.
Or like $180 million, wasn't it?
It's $200 million. Yeah,
wow.
Yeah. Before marketing, this was actually planned as setting up a trilogy of films, but it doesn't look like that's going to happen.
You know, I heard there's a big twist in it that pissed a lot of people off, or okay. People saw coming out of nowhere. I mean, saw coming a mile away.
Uh-huh.
I haven't seen Argylle yet. I haven't, but I feel like I already know the twist about like who is the real Agent Argylle.
Who's Agent Argylle?
I feel like I
it's the cat.
Can I guess it? I've not seen the movie.
Is it Bryce Dallas Howard?
That's what I would guess it is. It's probably Bryce Dallas Howard. That's my guess.
She's just been playing coy the whole time.
Yeah, so yeah. That's who I would assume would be the twist. But I could be wrong because I haven't seen the movie yet.
Yeah.
And that's not a spoiler. I'm just guessing.
Yeah, it's just a prediction. We have not seen the film. This is actually, it's an Apple TV production. So It will be on Apple soon. It's not going to end up being a franchise with these numbers.
Definitely not.
Next up, we have Migration still kicking along.
And still
it's
flying.
Its second month is still in the top
five. Soaring in the air.
$4 million for the family film. And then Wonka in fifth place. Those two, they're just in the top five. It seems like forever.
The legs on these movies and the wings on Migration.
I can't wait to say the box office report without them in it anymore.
It's chocolate. And there's chocolate.
Wonka's not going away.
Chocolate.
It's a great, beautiful rendition.
Thank you. It's going to be crazy. Wonka's still going to be in theaters when Dune comes out.
For real,
and Wonka came out on December 16th, I think.
Yeah, middle of December.
Holy crap.
Man, that's crazy.
Who would have thought?
Who'd have thunk it? At number six, the TV series next episode of The Chosen came in with a $3.3 million weekend. Very good weekend for that small release.
Wait, so The Chosen, it's not a movie. It's an episodic theatrical release.
Yeah. Something like that. I'm not exact. I think this is either the premiere of the show or maybe they're doing a new episode every weekend.
It's about Jesus, right?
It's about Jesus.
Nice.
That's actually the tagline. The Chosen.
Jake Christ.
It's about Jesus.
That's all you need. That's all you need.
That's the trailer. It's about Jesus.
He's trying to get people interested in retirement plans.
And timeshares.
No, but retirement
plans. We got pushed timeshares last week.
It's a heaven joke.
Retirement plans.
That's good.
A heavenly retirement.
Yeah.
Certainly hope so. In eighth place was Anyone But You with $3 million. And then The Bay Caper.
Still there.
Came in ninth place with $2.5 million. Still chugging along, keeping those bees safe, protecting that. I've got to protect the hive.
I'm Jason the Bay Caper. Well, that wraps our box office of the 17-day weekend at the box office. The headlines are so ridiculous. They're absurd. 8-day weekend, that's more than a week.
Madam Web debuted with $600 million in 6 years.
In a 365-day weekend. Moving on to another cool update we have for us. We are hosting our third and final episode of The Last of Us Game Nights on Tuesday. The episode will drop on PlayStation's YouTube channel. Don't miss it. It's been so fun to work with them, and I can't wait for you all to check it out.
Fantastic stuff. Now, let's get into the movie news, but before we get into more stories, we're going to start with a trailer, just because it was the most exciting trailer that was revealed at the Super Bowl, and it's such a big story.
Biggest news of the week.
Yeah, Deadpool and Wolverine. They dropped the first teaser trailer from director Jack. What's his name?
What is his name?
Something Levi.
Sean Levy.
Sean Levy. Now, Sean Levy is a really great director who's worked with both Hugh Jackman and Ryan Reynolds in previous films. So,
what did he do with them?
He did Real Steel.
Okay,
the robot boxing movie, and then he did the Ryan Reynolds video game movie.
Oh no! Yes, no. Yeah,
Free Guy.
And then he also did some Stranger Things stuff.
He did. He's directed many episodes of the last two seasons of Stranger Things. So he's an excellent director. Now, this teaser trailer was a lot of fun. And I'm really glad that Wade Wilson is just poking fun at Marvel and the TVA. And it really it deserves to be roasted.
Him wearing the wig to open up was hysterical.
The blonde wig with the side part. Oh, my God. It is so funny. And he basically seems like he's going to be changing things up for the MCU for the better. But it deserves to be destroyed and roasted and torched. And so I hope that this film really does that. It seems like that's the trajectory. And Disney and Marvel must have just been like, okay, just do what you want to us. We deserve it. Let's have everyone have fun at a Marvel movie again.
The thing with this movie, I think it'll be the biggest hit of the year. Mm-hmm. It's coming out on July 26th. I think it's going to maybe pull $1 billion, possibly.
I think it could.
It could pull $1 billion. It's going to be a massive hit. The anticipation is through the roof for this film. But there's so many interesting things about this trailer, like himself calling himself Marvel Jesus and the Messiah. He's going to save the MCU. It's really interesting because it shows that maybe Marvel knows that they're in trouble and they're finally admitting it through this movie. But also, will Deadpool and Wolverine, will it save the MCU, which clearly is in trouble? Will it be able to sort of hit a reset button, or will it just be a temporary massive hit, huge, awesome movie that everyone enjoys? Back to the roots of the great MCU films we remember, as well as another great Deadpool movie. Will it just be a blimp, a temporary thing that we all get excited about the MCU again, and then we're back to where they've been post-Phase 4? I'm curious, but I'm insanely excited about this movie. It's one of my most anticipated movies of the year because I freaking love Ryan Reynolds' Deadpool. It's one of the most perfect castings ever in comic book movies, hands down. Like, the two of them might be the most perfect castings in their respective characters.
I agree,
And, I mean, Deadpool, Ryan Reynolds, and then throwing in Logan with Wolverine and Hugh Jackman, the two, their friendship in real life, and then putting that into a freaking movie. It's just, I cannot wait. I'm very excited. Now, however, we all kind of have to watch Loki season 1 and 2 to sort of, I guess, understand everything with the TVA, because I have not watched Loki season 2.
Yeah. I think they might keep it simple because they know everyone hasn't watched it. I think they're going to keep it very simple with explaining what the TVA is.
Yeah, so I was like, at first when I saw the TVA, I'm like, oh, now I have to watch Loki to understand everything. But then when Deadpool is back in his uniform, back in his wardrobe, ready to go and killing everyone, I'm like, all right, this looks freaking awesome. And then there's a great nod to Planet of the Apes in this movie. I don't know if you saw it.
Mm-mm.
In the trailer. So there's a screen at the end of the trailer when it was the behind-the-scenes photos that everyone saw that got leaked of them on like the sandy beach with Wolverine in the yellow and blue suits. Obviously, the trailer ends with Wade getting like hit backwards in the air and falls to the ground, and the shadow of Wolverine comes on top of him.
That's what James wants to see in this movie. He wants to see Wolverine come on top of Deadpool.
The shadow of Wolverine engulfs Wade's body over the sun, and then it's the shot of him like stabbing down.
Yes, and then before he comes on top of him?
Yes, then he comes on top of him. So on the beach, I noticed it the second time I watched the trailer. It's not a Statue of Liberty like Planet of the Apes, but it's a 20th Century Studio, 20th Century Fox giant metal logo, the fanfare logo. That looks like it looks like they're going to poke fun at how they bought 20th Century Fox.
Yeah.
Now they have the rights to the X-Men. So I think Disney will be poking fun of that with Deadpool 3 here, with Deadpool and Wolverine, how 20th Century Fox is dead.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's 20th Century Studios, obviously.
I like
Disney
that.
Owned.
That's really cute. That's creative.
Super cute.
It's super cute.
But I saw that. I thought it was really cool.
I didn't notice that, so I got to watch it again.
So I think they're going to have a lot of fun with this movie. I think it'll be hysterical, and I think we need a really funny superhero movie. It's been a while, I feel like.
I love that they didn't show Hugh Jackman, and just showing his shadow was more than enough, and it's just such a great tease that we'll obviously get looks of him when they release their final trailer before the film's released closer to the summer. I do think, so there's obviously going to be so many great cameos that we don't even know about in the film, but there's one cameo that I'm expecting because it's an actor who's also part of like that trio friend group, and it's Jake Gyllenhaal.
Oh.
Because the three of them are all pals, because they've all worked together, and they're always like posting on social media photos together, like hanging out. I guarantee you Jake Gyllenhaal shows up in that movie.
That's a good idea for
a
cameo.
Played an MCU character, so it makes sense. I guarantee you he's there.
Yeah, I think they're just going to have fun with the multiverse and just have so many people pop up. Mm-hmm. Because Marvel sort of needs that hype and excitement back. And I think just to play around, like how they did with Deadpool 2 in inside the room inside the mansion, there's like 7 actors from X-Men movies.
In that classroom.
Yeah, it's so funny. And they closed the door because they didn't want Deadpool to see them.
Yeah.
I think they can do something like that, but even more, and just expand on that and just have so many cameos.
Because now that it's a Disney production, they have the freedom to basically use any of the characters. So there's not going to be any rights issues now.
I'm expecting,
except for the Sony characters.
I'm also expecting to see a bunch of X-Men and mutants in this movie. Mm-hmm. I'm expecting to see a ton of mutants who maybe they've been cast, but they haven't been announced, the actors and actresses who will play the mutants. Because this is sort of the coming out party for the mutants in the MCU now, in the combination of both massive pieces of
because
cinema.
And Deadpool's already interacted with the mutants, so that makes sense that would happen.
Yeah, so I think that there'll be a ton of mutant cameos, maybe casting revelations in this movie.
And I bet Josh Brolin comes back too.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah, that'd be great to see.
Yeah.
He seems to have, I mean, he doesn't have the undercut, but he's got hair right now that's similar to the length of Cable's hair.
Who, Brolin?
Yeah, Brolin. He doesn't have the undercut, but
because he's got the long locks for Dune.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm sure he probably shot
at the Dune at the Dune premiere red carpet. He had about the same length hair, just no undercut.
Yeah, no undercut.
Yeah, but we'll I bet it would be cool to have him back. But I really do think Jake's going to show up.
That's an interesting prediction.
That'd be great.
Interesting prediction.
All right, let's move into Dune Part 2 news. Now, unfortunately, we weren't lucky enough to see it yet, but a handful of people across the world have seen Dune Part 2 already. And the reactions online are absolutely spectacular. Everybody's calling it a masterpiece, a science fiction landmark. Many people are comparing it to the epicness of The Lord of the Rings, which Dune has always had the potential to be. And I really think that this isn't just over... I don't think this is just overhype. I think this seems to be in line with what Denis did with Part 1, from the footage we've seen from the trailers, and then us knowing really the story of Dune, part of how Dune ends, it's really just going to be epic in scope and massive in its scale and extremely exciting. There's so many huge beats that are going to be mind-blowing, and there's still some secrets that haven't been revealed.
Some huge secrets.
Huge
secrets.
Still haven't been revealed. And I'm just really excited. The reactions, be careful reading them There have been a couple of spoilers. I was spoiled.
Really?
By something, so don't read any reactions online. For some reason, people are like in their tweets dropping a huge actor that nobody knew was in the film. Mm-hmm. But I guess they wanted the attention, so they're dropping the actor's name, which is ridiculous to spoil an amazing cameo that Denis obviously wanted to hide because this actor hasn't shown up.
Did they spoil the cameo?
No, not okay. That one. But it's just ridiculous. So if be careful reading reactions because I've seen a bunch of people already spoiling this casting.
Oh, wow.
It has nothing to do with the person who was at the red carpet the other day.
Yeah, so that's not a spoiler because that's public news now. Anya Taylor-Joy showed up at the red carpet, meaning she's in the movie.
Yeah.
Somehow, in some role. We don't know yet.
I'm trying to figure out what role she's playing. I'm not sure, but I'm very excited.
My guess is it's something to do with the Emperor.
Yeah. My guess is
maybe a Bene Gesserit.
I'm guessing Bene Gesserit, possibly.
But just, I'm on the Hollywood Reporter. They have an article for Dune 2 reactions. Here's some of them. Emily Murray, arguably Denis Villeneuve's magnum opus. It's a masterpiece throwing you right into the action. It's totally immersive, gripping, and ultimately devastating. Just truly remarkable filmmaking. I'm in awe. Jazz, Tankay, Dune Part 2 is a gigantic epic, a masterclass of crafts from Greg Fraser's exceptional photography to Patrice Vermette's magnificent world building. I love when people drop Patrice Vermette's
name. Production designer,
My favorite production designer right now. As well as another one, monumental cinematic achievement greater than Part 1 on a narrative, technical, and thematic level. Denis Villeneuve delivers grander ambition aided by an extraordinary, morally complex performance from Timothée Chalamet. That's the thing with this performance. So people, I think... Obviously, Paul seems very much like a hero character in the first film, but I think they're going to get blindsided about Paul's true path.
It's a lot more complex of a role than the first film gave it credit for. And he's just a kid in the first film. He's just a kid. Now he's growing into his position of power. And it's interesting, his reaction to it. You're going to see in the film, he has trouble accepting it, and then... Things get a little more exciting. I can't wait.
It's going to be epic. Let's move on to some more news on Ridley Scott. So, first bit of news for him. Gladiator 2 footage has been shown to executives, and they apparently are blown away by no surprise because it's Ridley Scott making Gladiator 2. So, obviously, the footage is going to be incredible. And also, he's been announced he'll be directing Paramount's new film, a biopic, on the Bee Gees.
Oh, fun.
That's pretty interesting.
Great band. A very influential band.
I wonder, has he ever done a music biopic before?
Scott has, not that I can think of, he's never done music.
Could be wrong, but off the top of my head, I can't think of a music biopic. Not a documentary, but I just mean like a biopic about a musician or artist.
Not that I can think of. Two hymns. What is it?
Ridley Scott making the Bee Gees movie for Paramount.
Is that your Bee Gees impression?
Yeah, it's pretty good, right?
No.
All
right, next up. There were a bunch of Super Bowl commercials for trailers. My favorite bit part of the Super Bowl ads were actually Dunkin' Donuts commercial.
Dunkin's kid.
From Ben Affleck, Matt Damon, Tom Brady, and Jennifer Lopez, which was absolutely hysterical. They actually released like the 5-minute entire short that they made online. You watch it on YouTube. They released a minute-long one for the Super Bowl ad.
I saw a 3-minute one, too.
Yeah, there's an even shorter one, yeah. The 5-minute one has Brady more in it.
Yeah.
It's just so fucking funny. It's Ben Affleck. He's determined to prove the haters wrong because all the paparazzi photos of him make him look like he's bored with J-Lo and doesn't like being with her. He's like, I'm bored, huh? No, I've been paying attention.
Taking notes.
you underestimate Boston at your peril. At your peril. And so basically he teams up with Matt Damon and Tom Brady in these crazy Dunkin' Donuts outfits to make a new record to put on J-Lo's album. And they pitch it to her in the studio. A whole dance number. Tom Brady's on the keys. Matt Damon is a backup singer and dancer. And oh my, I was dying. It was one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
It's hysterical.
It was it's like Massachusetts, New England humor. And Ben went full Boston for it. It was just hysterical. And I love that fact that like he's poking fun at the press depiction of him.
He's diving right into it because he knows about the memes.
Yeah.
He knows about Ben Affleck smoking cigarettes outside the apartment, everything like that. So I really love that, especially the J-Lo one that went viral last year with him like getting the door for it. People are like, oh, he hates J-Lo. It's like, I'm sure they're fine.
He hates that every time they go to their car, there's 20 guys taking photos of them.
That's what it is. It's not that he's just annoyed by the people you don't see.
He can't have a mob of people
following him everywhere he goes.
He can't have a moment to just be with his wife.
I loved it. How he's just become the biggest Dunkin' Donuts spokesperson they've ever had.
Yeah.
He has become that. They've never had like an official spokesperson that's lasted more than a couple commercials.
Yeah, he's been like for a couple years now. Yeah,
he's been like the official guy for fucking Dunkin's kid, which is like a Bostonian's dream come true.
And so Dunkin' Donuts, there's two items that they're making. So they're making a munchkin skewer. So donut holes.
Did you notice
munchkins.
They called it donut holes in the commercial? Because that's, it's more common to call it donut holes. Yeah. But in Massachusetts, we call them munchkins, the little ball munchkins.
Munchkins is a way better name.
Way better name.
Way better names. We call it munchkins, but donut holes on a skewer, that's one of the things. And then the drink that they mentioned in the commercial, Ben says, relax, Matt. They're naming a drink after us. It's Ben Affleck's go-to order at Dunkin' Donuts.
What is it? Can I guess it?
Yeah.
Is it a hot coffee or cold coffee?
Cold.
Is it it's a large iced coffee with four sugars and milk.
Close, close. It's got like a vanilla shot in it,
mm-hmm.
and then it's an iced coffee with some kind of frothy cream on top too. Okay. But it's been his go-to order for years. And so Dunkin' Donuts is like, let's just make that a drink on the menu.
Yeah,
so
Charlie D'Amelio got a drink. Why not Ben?
Yes, and she's in the commercial too, because she's tight with them because she's been a dancer for J-Lo for years now.
I'm convinced that Ben and Matt made this commercial just to hang out with Brady for the day. And then there's the behind-the-scenes footage of throwing footballs with Tom through the donut hole.
Oh, my God.
It's
so
like,
fun.
Like, that's the dream, to throw footballs with Tom Brady? Yeah. Are you kidding me?
They kept missing, and then Tom just in the hole. It's just like over and over again. Perfect.
It's too easy for the greatest quarterback to ever live. Too easy for him.
I couldn't I knew Matt would be in it, but then when they showed Brady on the keyboards, I was like, oh, my God.
What do you call him? Like, DJ, Tommy, Brady.
Tommy B.
Tommy B.
You said you're going to support me. Being your friend's really
when
hard
Matt's
right
like, I, when I said I'd do anything for you, like, this is anything.
It's really hard being your friend.
Tell
right
me support
now.
Me.
Said you support me.
Oh, my God. It's so funny. I love it. If you haven't seen it, check it out. It's great.
Well, we might as well stay on Ben because we have some more news about him. Mm-hmm. So he's got a new movie he's going to make called Animals. Obviously, we announced a couple weeks ago that Matt Damon's going to star in it as well.
But now Jennifer Garner, his ex-wife, is apparently in talks to star in it as well. Animal centers around the kidnapping of a son of Los Angeles mayoral candidate Milo Bradford, played by Matt Damon. Facing a tight deadline to come up with the ransom, the couple must navigate a web of challenges revealing hidden aspects of their lives.
That sounds awesome.
It sounds excellent.
Great. Fuck yeah.
It really does sound excellent. It's really interesting to see a director make a movie with their ex.
Well, they must be in great.
I'm sure they're great friends.
Great
still,
friends,
you know, and they're partners and forever. You're like life partners with an ex.
Yeah, you're still raising your kids together.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But it must be great for their kids to see like their parents work together. That's really cool.
Absolutely. I love the idea of Jennifer Garner and Matt Damon playing a couple. I that would be fantastic chemistry.
If she, that's the character she'd
be
playing.
Be playing the wife of the mayor.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So she's.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I think that's great casting, honestly. And Jennifer hasn't done too many movies lately. So I'm looking forward to seeing her get back into the film world.
She's been doing a lot of commercials.
A lot of big
she's
commercials.
Making that money.
Making that big money.
She's making money, man. Credit card commercials like crazy.
Give me those credit cards.
She's like the new Sam L. Jackson.
For real. Sam Jackson and Jennifer Garner are, there's no two people better at selling credit cards than those two.
Every time I see a credit card commercial, it's one of them too. And also to stay on Ben in his life, Jennifer Lopez has a new documentary coming out that's been in the works for about 15, 20 years.
Yes.
Called the This Is Me. It looks really incredible.
It just dropped on Amazon Prime.
She self-funded it and just did the budget herself. So she's an EP on it. And it's like a lifelong or career-long film that she's been making and producing. And Ben helped out as well. There's like a couple shots of him doing some camera shit.
Oh, nice.
So that's pretty cool. But that's an incredible lifelong project that she's finally releasing.
Yeah, it's you can watch it on Prime. It's Prime. All right, let's get into some major casting. So the rumors about the Fantastic Four have been percolating for months now. And what's ironic is that the initial rumors from last year are actually accurate.
They're all true.
It's all true.
It's all true.
Pedro Pascal, Vanessa Kirby, Joseph Quinn, and Eben Moss-Bachrach have been cast in the Fantastic Four.
Hey, cousin. I'm Ben Grimes. I'm the thing.
So Pedro Pascal will be playing Mr. Fantastic. Vanessa Kirby, the Invisible Woman. Did I say that right? Sue Storm. Joseph Quinn will be playing Johnny Storm, and then Eben Moss-Bachrach will be playing The Thing.
Ben Grimes.
Excellent casting. I can't wait to see them all. I think it's a really great announcement. And it was cute. They announced it on Valentine's Day, and they made a really cute Valentine's Day graphic of them all.
Like a card.
Just having fun.
It's an interesting card because you can maybe assume, is it thematically relevant to the movie? So it seems sort of 60s era. the hair, the wardrobe, as well as the setting. There's dog, a very retro robot dog. And everyone's in their uniforms of Fantastic Four uniforms. And Eben is the Thing on a chair. Everyone else obviously is human form. But then there's a portrait of Eben as Ben in the background on a wall of him in his astronaut suit. Obviously the mission probably that got them to become who they are as the Fantastic Four and their powers.
He's the pilot, yeah.
So it's pretty interesting. I wonder if it has something to do with the tone of the movie. Will it be a retro 1960s, maybe 1970s film?
Will it be a romantic comedy?
I don't know about that. It's possible. I'm excited about this casting because I expected it. Obviously, I think they're all great actors, and Vanessa Kirby's excellent as well. Yeah. And so, awesome castings. But the last Fantastic Four also had awesome castings.
I mean, yeah.
I mean, we had Miles Teller, Michael B. Jordan.
Oh, the last one. I was thinking of the original. Yeah, yeah.
So, and Jamie Bell, and who was Sue Storm? Was it?
It was Kate Mara.
Kate Mara. Excellent cast. Everyone was excited about that as well, and that movie was not great.
Well, that's because of the director.
Yeah. So
he made it, this is serious stuff. Yeah. This is a serious movie. Just came down to the storytelling.
I think this is really awesome news. I think this combined with Deadpool and Wolverine is something to keep people very excited about the MCU right now while they're trying to fix other projects they're working on like Blade.
Also, Joseph Quinn is post-Stranger Things. Is absolutely crushing it.
On fire. He actually got cast in something else that I might as well pop into right now.
I was going to say, what is it?
So Bret Easton Ellis, the author behind American Psycho, is making his directorial debut called Relapse. Just cast Joseph Quinn. It's described as an elevated horror, also scripted by Ellis. It'll feature Joseph Quinn playing a young man named Matt Cullen, whose privileged life is shattered when he's a witness to a horrendous death at a wild party. After checking into rehab, he's seemingly able to get back on a more even keel and moves back in with his parents and at their luxurious Los Angeles mansion. But as his unstable personality starts to cause problems, again fueled by spending too much time on social media, he begins to be haunted anew by a creature that has troubled him for years. Others are convinced he's imagining things, but therapy might not be enough to help Matt this time.
Sounds awesome.
So, Bret Easton Ellis writing and directing his first film starring Joseph Quinn.
Fuck yeah. But, so, other than that, this is Joseph Quinn's filmography post-Stranger Things. So, Fantastic Four, The Quiet Place Part 1, Day 1, and then Gladiator 2.
Oh, yeah.
He's in Gladiator 2, don't forget. Right, yeah. Like, holy shit! That's hot. Crazy.
I mean, he's really great in Stranger
Things,
He's
gonna blow up. He's gonna blow up.
Because everyone watched Stranger Things, Season 4, 1 and 2. And everyone loved it.
Yeah.
But everyone specifically loved Joseph Quinn in that show.
Dude, he post Stranger Things, he could have done anything. Like, Hollywood was just like, here's the door, it's open.
Basically.
And I think he made really smart choices. Ridley Scott, A Quiet Place, the new franchise, and then Fantastic Four. Like, holy crap.
Yeah, he's all over the place. Great decisions. As well as now an independent film from Bret Easton Ellis.
Great decisions. All right, next up. More images from Joker.
Which also dropped on Valentine's Day.
Yeah, ironic. Joker Folie à Deux were released. They were shared by Todd Phillips. I love how Todd Phillips prefers to share the images himself.
On Instagram.
Yeah, on Instagram. It's just great. And these show more images of Joaquin Phoenix and Lady Gaga as Joker and Harley Quinn. It shows that they have a lot of romance together. There's a shot of them touching noses where he's behind a cell. And then there's a shot of them dancing on a rooftop in New York. Then there's another shot of them. And I'm just really excited for this. This means we're getting a trailer soon.
Yeah, and the rooftop one's really beautiful. It looks sort of... obviously, like in a soundstage with just sort of classical
old
production
Hollywood.
Elements, you know what I mean? It's really cool.
I think he's going to do that.
I think it's going to be a really interesting movie.
I think it's going to blow everybody's hair back, honestly.
I'm very excited about it.
So stoked for this movie. It's going to be fantastic.
Yeah.
Let's get into the trailers.
And finally, we got a trailer for Twisters! This trailer slapped.
It was awesome.
It was awesome.
My favorite trailer.
I was blown away.
It was my favorite.
Like, within 30 seconds, I'm like, this trailer's really good.
This is good.
This movie's going to be awesome. Yeah, holy shit. It's basically the same movie as the original, except it's two Twisters this time.
Twisters!
Twins! And Glenn Powell is very much the Helen Hunt character from the original. But man, this movie looks sick.
Yeah, it's great. And
I'm surprised.
It looked so much better than I was expecting.
Me too.
And I really, the cast is great. They got a lot of great young actors to fill out the ensemble, just like the original film. Obviously, the cast is mostly younger than the original, but still, it's great. It's Glenn Powell. He's fantastic. And then the actress from Where the Crawdads Sing. I'm sorry, her name's
Daisy.
Daisy
Edgar Jones.
She's fantastic. So This looks like a great, fun time, honestly.
Glenn Powell looks awesome in this movie. He's like a cowboy chasing twisters as well.
Yeah.
Except he has, like, there's new tech. There's old tech from the original.
They got
those,
Goldilocks.
Yeah,
they
Goldilocks with those little silver metallic balls that float up into the twister, into the
tornado. Are they silver or are they gold?
Shut up. And then... then Glenn Powell, he's got his own pickup truck and his own system. He digs a drill into the ground with his truck to make him to let him hold into place, which was so cool. It's really clever. Man, it looks awesome.
I really loved it. Anthony Ramos is in it, so he's blowing up too. But it looks really fun, and that's what I wanted. We've been making fun of this movie for almost a year now.
Yeah,
and now I was like, oh shit, it looked fun.
It looks epic. Dude, sign me up. Yeah. I was so juiced. It's my favorite trailer of the week.
Man, just let Glenn Powell cook. Just let him cook,
let
man.
Let him cook, man. It looks like so much fun in this movie.
Another really great trailer was Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. So far, we got a teaser a few months ago. Didn't really see much, but we got a full 2.5-minute trailer. We get a lot more sense of the story. So this is set several generations in the future following Caesar's reign, in which apes are the dominant species living harmoniously, and humans have been reduced to living in the shadows. As new tyrannical ape leader Proximus Caesar builds his empire, one young ape undertakes a harrowing journey that will cause him to question all that he has known about the past and to make choices that will define a future for the apes and humans alike. Yes, humans, though they've been reduced to savages that are often enslaved by apes, there are signs that some humans are still showing signs of intelligence and speech, such as Freya Allen's character Nova. So the female human girl in the trailer, as we've known from the trilogy they just did, human beings were losing their intelligence and becoming more animal-like based upon from the viral outbreak that they were suffering from. And that's how they explained apes taking dominance over the world. And it looks like in this iteration, this follow-up, some humans are regaining that sign of intelligence, which begs danger for the apes in rule right now. And it looks like we're mostly getting back to the moments of the original films where apes have built civilization and humans are enslaved, they're captured, they're hunted, and they live amongst scattered regions across the world. So it looks really great.
And they've always done a great job of juxtapositioning humans and apes, sort of flipping their cultures.
Yeah.
And here we have a flipping of culture where the name Caesar seems to have been passed down by generations as a name of someone in power.
Just like
really
in
interesting,
Rome.
Just like in Rome. Exactly. Yeah. It's really cool.
Great point, man.
Thanks, dude.
And also taking the Latin name Proximus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Very cool.
Very interesting.
Wow, you are so smart, man.
I have many moments of intelligence, just like Nova.
I'm really smart.
I do that from time to time.
I'll read good.
From time to time. Moving on to the next trailer, we got Godzilla X King, the new empire.
Kong.
What did I say? Oh, Godzilla X Kong, the new empire. I don't read too good.
You just, right after you said you had many moments of intelligence, you read Kong as king.
And this looks like a buddy cop monster movie, which I guess is unique now.
Yeah, it actually looks way better than the first trailer. We're getting more sense for the story.
I will say, it looks better than the first trailer.
It looks fun, and
Kong has like this metallic arm.
He's got the Infinity Gauntlet.
Yeah, he's got the Infinity Gauntlet. And also, I read that
let's do Kong, but make him Iron Man.
It was inspired by Lethal Weapon, this movie. That's what I read. And if someone doesn't say I'm getting dueled for this, then Kong I'm leaving the theater.
Kong has to say it. But it looks fun. Dan Steven looks great. It's fun to see him in a big movie. Rebecca Hall is leading this film. Very strong actor.
Super strong. She can lift so many weights.
And so the conflict of the film is that in that world beneath the crust, there's this new huge ape guy who's leading a resistance to attack and go to war with the humans. And I like how they said that Kong protects humanity and Godzilla protects nature. And so they have to join forces to protect humanity and nature from this new villain and his army. Looks cool. It looks like a lot of fun.
We also got a trailer for Park Chan-wook's The Sympathizer, which is going to be a miniseries on Max starring Robert Downey Jr., and it's about spies and spycraft.
Spies.
About a Vietnamese spy in America who gets mixed up with Robert Downey Jr.'s character, who's a spy expert and sort of just his own spycraft, and it looks insanely entertaining. And Rob Downey Jr. looks like he just had so much fun playing like 12 different kinds of characters and looks.
Yeah, it looks fantastic. Sandra Ho also leads out the cast, and I mean anything Park Chan-wook does, we're gonna be there for. So I can't wait to see him in the TV landscape.
And it looks like, because he's always done such a great job of blending comedy with darkness, and this trailer has that great tone because he walks that fine line so well.
I'm really looking forward to it. Next up, we had a Super Bowl trailer for The Fall Guy. This was a quick 30-second super cut, very snappy.
It was like a minute, Anthony.
It might have been. Okay, it was a minute.
Yeah.
But it moved super fast. Yeah. And I thought it was a really smart tease. Like, they made the comedy very present. And it was very, very fast. But
yeah,
I think
they had
it was
fun
very,
with it.
Yeah, it was very catching.
The text was like Ryan fucking Gosling.
And then
Emily
fucking
Blunt.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun. And it just showed you what the movie was. And it was just like, that's it. And I thought it was a really fantastic Super Bowl trailer.
Me too.
Next up, we had one of the funniest. It was the funniest trailer. So John Krasinski's If, which comes out this year, they dropped the Super Bowl trailer. But it was like a blend of behind the scenes footage with the actual trailer of the film. But the great nod to The Office when Randall Park played Asian Jim, confusing Dwight with that great prank. And
it's the great cold open.
Yeah, amazing cold open.
Randall Park just walks into the office and it pretends to be Jim. And Dwight's like, wait, what?
You're not Jim. And he's got like a photo with Pam. And it's like, I've always been Asian. Good for you for not seeing color. So John Krasinski brilliantly referenced that. And Randall Park played him in this ad. And it's basically, it's Randall Park as John Krasinski sitting with Ryan Reynolds on set talking about the film. And Ryan Reynolds is like, you're not John Krasinski, you're Randall Park. And then he's like, I'm John Krasinski. We worked for 8 months on this movie, 10 hours a day. How do you not, like, that's offensive that you don't even recognize me. And then, to go a step further, they took all the behind-the-scenes footage of Ryan Reynolds and John Krasinski working together, and they CGI'd Randall Park in John Krasinski's place. So there's footage of them, like, laughing and Randall Park directing Ryan Reynolds on set. And, oh, my God, it was so funny.
It's really
amazing.
Great.
Really, really clever.
It's so damn good.
I loved it. And also, John Krasinski, I don't know if you saw, because we follow him on Instagram because he's awesome. He changed his profile photo to Randall Park.
That's so fucking good. Oh, man. Krasinski's such a funny guy.
It's a great way to get adults invested in the film.
Yeah, I think so, too. And just so many people love The Office. Mm-hmm. It's a really good idea.
Yeah.
Our final trailer we'll talk about is a trailer for Wicked, the film adaptation of the very famous play that I've never seen.
It's a musical.
Musical. Not play.
Like, we know you've never seen
clearly
it.
Clearly, I've never seen it. It looks well made, but I will say it just looks kind of like a lot of generic, massive fantasy movies in the last 5-6 years. It sort of just looks like the same.
It looks
like Hunger Games.
So I guarantee you the singing is going to fucking rock.
Yeah,
because
absolutely.
Because you got two incredible singers.
Yeah.
But I will say it looks so similar to Sam Raimi's super CGI Oz Origins.
Oz the Great and Powerful.
Yeah. That was so heavy CGI. This is super heavy CGI. So I would say, I mean, I'll hold my hopes. I'm sure the songs are going to be amazing.
Yeah, I'm sure, yeah.
But it just looks like a little too much CGI, visual effects,
it
animation.
It just looks like a lot of big studio sci-fi fantasy epics
clean,
we've gotten the last 5-6 years.
Too pretty, too glossy.
Just the volume, insane use of the volume, massive green screen. Yeah. Green screen, it is what it is. I mean, there's no place that is Oz.
Yeah.
So you have to do it CGI. I feel like it could have looked better. It just looks
I think you can do it without CGI, but I think they chose not to. It just looked too animated for me.
It's just too much volume, I think.
Yeah.
The volume doesn't always work really great when you use it to like a massive extent.
But I'm sure the music's going to be phenomenal. You have two unbelievably talented singers.
I've never seen the musical, but I'm sure this movie will kill at the box office.
And fans of Wicked are extremely excited. Extremely. And
I'm
also,
sure they are.
Fans of Ariana Grande are going nuts over her.
It's
going to
be a hit.
Being a movie.
It's going to be a massive hit.
Yeah.
100%.
I think it will do very well.
All right, let's get into some more news.
Will Smith has been cast in a new film. It's an action thriller called Sugar Bandits. Chuck Hogan, who worked on The Town and TV's The Strain, great writer, remains attached. He's adapting the novel, his own novel, Devils in Exile. The script will focus on an Iraq war veteran named Neil Maven, who Smith will be playing, who returns from the conflict with a little hope of a good job or a satisfying future. He teams up with a group of fellow vets to target the ill-gotten gains of Boston's drug trade, putting them firmly into the crosshairs of criminal types. So let's see Will Smith with a fucking Boston accent guy.
Yeah, if Chuck Hogan's involved, obviously many of his books take place in Massachusetts and Boston, which is really cool. Mm. So sign me up. I think that sounds awesome.
Yeah, Sugar Bandits. It's called Sugar Bandits.
We have a new biopic about another musician. It feels like every month there's a new announcement of a biopic.
Biopic's so hot, man.
They're insanely hot right now. It's absurd. It's like 10 a year now. This one will be called Michael. It's about Michael Jackson. The first image of his nephew, who plays Michael Jackson in the film, Jafar Jackson, has been released. Antoine Fuqua is directing the new film, which aims to chart the controversial pop megastar's career from his boy band beginnings through his ascension to one of the most famous people in the world and the biggest pop star to ever live.
Just a quick correction. This is the second image of the film.
Second image of the film.
This one's in color, and it's him performing. The first image was the black and white one of him in the dance studio.
Thank you for the correction.
Get your facts right.
Pretty interesting.
Get your facts right.
That his nephew's playing him. He must move and dance like him as well.
He looks a lot like him.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, he has a very similar body and physique. Silhouette and physique, yeah. So, yeah, we'll see. I remember really liking, remember that Jackson biopic when we were kids that came out?
Yeah.
It was like a TV movie?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that was really cool.
I mean, he was the biggest star in the world for 20 years.
Yeah.
He's absurdly famous.
Yeah, I've heard of him.
Final bit of news.
This is it.
Karate Kid, the new one, has been cast. Ben Wang has been cast as the new Karate Kid, even though they did a globetrotting open casting call
globetrotting.
Yeah. It sounds like that was just marketing, to be honest.
They just saw a bunch of people on Skype.
I don't think that they looked at anyone, honestly. So Ben Wang, he was from Disney Plus's American Born Chinese that came out last year. He has great advantages in terms of speaking fluent Mandarin. He's skilled in a variety of martial arts, including karate, Wing Chun, Kung Fu, Kenpo, and Taekwondo.
Nice.
So he seemed like an obvious choice, and he must have nailed the audition because he is going to be the next Karate Kid, which will take place, we read the synopsis a couple weeks ago, New York.
And Jackie Chan and both Ralph Macchio will be in the film.
Yep.
As both of his senseis, yes, I guess.
Absolutely.
Fuck yeah.
Absolutely. So, very cool. We're very excited to see a new Karate Kid movie because that's one of the best movies ever.
It's one of the best coming-of-age movies ever made.
It's so goddamn good.
Dun, 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun.
Cruel summer. That's so bad.
That was awful.
That was terrible.
Oh my god. Anyways, that's it for movie news. Be sure to watch our episode on PlayStation's YouTube channel.
All right, take care, everyone.
See you next time.